Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cinemax podcast, the show where we take different movies every week and pit them against each other to decide which is ultimately the best. That's the first time I've done the intro in a while. I feel like I've just really half-assed it since we came back. My name is Cal, and joining me as he does every week is Mr. Nathan Sakalhana. How are you today, sir?
Loads better today. I've been ill for the past couple of weeks, haven't we? Both of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm
All
still a
right.
bit stuffy now, actually. Like, my nose is still a bit bung up.
Need to get some, what's that called? Vicks that you spray at Renown.
See, my issue is when I get colds, I just road dog it every time. I just accept what's happening is happening, and I'm just gonna get through it.
I will treat it like I'm dying.
Yeah, that's probably the wiser option because I just don't take anything, and then I'm just ill for weeks and weeks and weeks.
I'm like, get me in the MRI, make sure
Yeah.
it could be something serious.
How was your week, Ben? Busy, I imagine.
Extremely busy, yeah. Obviously, working in a cinema is pretty busy. We never say which one, but it's been Paddington is still busy from when that came out. Wicked is still as busy as when it first came out. Gladiator is still as busy. And then Bloody Moana 2 came out at the same time. So we've got four big hitters. I
This
mean,
has
we've
got
got
to be
like.
like one of the busiest periods it's been in a while then, because I can't remember the last time there was so, like four really big movies like this out at the same time.
I know it's been pretty bloody big. I was about to say like numbers, but I realized I can't say numbers.
No.
It's been a lot of people in the well, lots of thousands.
It's you've been earning your money finally then.
Well, we're off the Saturday. I wrote Comic Con.
I was about to say you've been stealing a living all these years, but apparently you still are then.
I was at Comic Con on Saturday. I'm
Was
fine.
you? Where was
Yeah.
that?
Went to Birmingham, Comic Con with a couple of friends. That was good. Probably the most disappointing one I've ever been to. It wasn't as good as previous years, but managed to get some good stuff. Just spent a load of stuff on, load of money on indie comics and walked past a load of people in cosplay. Oh, that's the less I'll say about that, the better.
See, I went to the Birmingham one once. I think it was just before COVID. It was the end of 2019. That's the only time I've been, but I thought it was all right. They had a couple of decent guests then. We had Sean Astin, which was cool.
Okay, Luke Evans was there. I don't know if
Oh,
you're
that's
a,
fun.
you seem like a Luke Evans fan.
I mean, I absolutely love his portrayal as Gaston in the live action Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. What about you? Week. I never ask you about your week. You always ask me, then we go straight into the thing. How's your week been?
That's because I'm the more caring and attentive friend here.
I'm just taking the win that you call me your friend.
It's like a backhanded compliment. I said friend, but only as a way to insult you and say you were a shit friend. My week's been all right. Eleanor had a dance show at the weekend, so we went to watch that, which is interesting enough because it's like kids that I've never met, but because Eleanor choreographs the dance and she's in a couple, I go every year, and it was really good this year actually, and I met a few other people. She's got like an older class of like women in like the well, it ranges. I think there's a couple in the 30s, but there's one of the dancers in it is like 70, and we've had a bit of a back and forth through Eleanor, like, because Eleanor keeps showing me like videos of them dancing like in the studio rehearsing stuff, and I'd always make comments about this 70-year-old looking great doing it, and Eleanor would tell her, and then she'd be sending Eleanor comments back to say it to me. So we've been flirting through Eleanor for months, and we met on Saturday, and that was fun. She came over, gave me a hug, and we were like chatting, and then when on the they did the show, and on, there was a bit in it which kind of like flashed a skirt up at the crowd, and the owner of the dance studio was speaking to me afterwards, and she said this lady came off the stage and told her that that wasn't for her husband, it was for me.
Long
So,
story short,
I formed a connection.
you can say long story short, you're not marrying Eleanor anymore. You're marrying in
No,
this
I met someone
little
else. I've met a lovely older woman. But yeah, it was good. And obviously, I went to watch Moana 2 this week. That was fine.
it's fine.
Yeah, it went
I'm
great. It was fine.
not watching it yet, to be fair. I'm tough. I still not watched Gladiator 2. I need to because I know that. We're going to be doing our usual. I say usual. We've only ever done it once.
Yeah,
End.
our traditional.
Yeah, we've done it once. It's a tradition. If we do it twice, then it's tradition.
Yeah.
End of year podcast. But I've still not seen that. I've still not seen Substance, and I really wanted to watch that.
That's a good one.
I think.
Unless you listen to the opinions of anyone else that we know for some reason, who all like rated it like one star.
Yeah. True.
The rest of the world's like four and a half, and then everyone that I seem to know was like one. And I was like, am I? Because at first I felt like I was alone and thinking it was a good movie. But then I saw the rest of the world react, and I was like, okay, at least I'm not the one that's like weird.
No, more people have terrible taste.
Yeah.
Not even, I think we're going. I've still not seen Gladiator, it's still not seen Moana, still not seen Substance, but I think I'm going to watch Wicked again this week. So,
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I want to watch it again. Eleanor's watched it twice already. She's going a third time this weekend with friends from work, so I'm jealous. But I did watch It's a Wonderful Life in the cinema yesterday.
oh, you did work in the series, though.
Yeah, I was supposed to watch it on Monday with a friend, a mutual friend of ours, but then I my shift got changed,
Well,
so I had to
you have to
work.
call him a friend, it's fine.
You are?
You don't have to call her a friend.
Oh, no, I'm trying to be polite.
An acquaintance.
I've turned a leaf. We're in December. It's Christmas time. I'm a new man. I'm like Scrooge. I've changed. But yeah, I was supposed to watch it Monday with someone, but then I had to work, so I had to cancel, which was annoying. But then fortunately, it was showing in a different cinema yesterday, so I went to watch it there. But that cinema, it was really quiet. I think I'd have actually enjoyed to watch it in a packed screen. I'm not usually one that enjoys watching films in busy screens because I know how loud and like they can be. But I think with a film like It's a Wonderful Life, you're getting a very specific audience watching that who have gone to watch a classic. So I think I'd have liked to watch that on a busy screen, but I still watched it on the big screen. And that was fucking awesome. So my week's been good. And like I just said, it is Christmas. We are in December. So I've got a Christmas hat.
How about we jump it?
Yeah. And we are doing two Christmas films. Not really classics per se. I don't think many people have even seen these, but I want.
I didn't even hear it when you said, should we do these? Like, okay, what are they?
Yeah, I watched one for the very first time last week, and it kind of, I felt like it closely linked to the other, which I've seen for a few years now, so I thought it was a good idea to do these together. We're doing Almost Christmas from 2016 against The Family Stone from 2005, I believe it was. Yeah, 2005 it was. Not, I don't want to give too much away immediately, but why I thought they were closely linked, but I'd seen The Family Stone a few times, and it's one that's grown on me quite a lot over the years. Whereas Almost Christmas, I watched it for the first time literally last week. You'd never seen either of them,
Never even
so
heard of him.
it's a bit of an unusual one. Where usually when we do these sorts of things, we've both kind of like not have a like a proper relationship with the movies, but we're at least familiar with them. Whereas you'd never heard of either of these. I'd never seen one. This time, like 2 weeks ago, we were one for four on these movies, so it could have gone really bad. I'm not sure how what your opinions were on them because I don't think you've like put them on Letterboxd
No,
or anything.
I've been really lazy this week. I've watched a couple of films and not put any of them on Letterboxd yet.
No, so I'm not. This is probably one of the first times we've gone into one where I'm not quite sure what you're thinking. So it'll be interesting. We'll crack straight into it then with the stories. And usually, like I said, I go on these little convoluted rants where I like mess with my words and just actually chat nonsensical shite for 2 minutes trying to explain the stories. So I'm just going to read the synopsis on Letterboxd.
You do that.
Maybe I'll expand here and there if necessary.
Did
So,
you not?
Almost Christmas, which stars
I was
Danny
going to
Glover.
say, for a second, then I thought you'd not even got it up ready. Did you have
No,
to
of course I
just
have. Of course
read
I have.
it? Okay. Okay, just check
No, I definitely didn't. I've just got it up on my phone.
it.
Yeah, so Almost Christmas starring Danny Glover is, it's about a dysfunctional family that gathers together for their first Christmas since the death of the matriarch, Danny Glover's wife, who died 10 months earlier. And then you compare that to The Family Stone, which is about a lady played by Sarah Jessica Parker, who's like uptight and conservative businesswoman who goes to spend Christmas with her boyfriend with his family who she's never met, who it turns out they're eccentric and outgoing, and they have all these like family this annual Christmas celebration, and she finds out that she's a fish out of water.
Eccentric is one word.
Yeah. She's a fish out of water in their free-spirited way of life, it says. And what better way to describe it? There isn't one. So, obviously, there's a lot of nuances to both and how they play out, but I'll go first this time because I think I let you go first last week. And I went 10-9 in favour of The Family Stone straight off the bat because I think the fish out of water element and how different Sarah Jessica Parker's character Meredith is, I think it's like it's really entertaining to watch play out. And I also think while Almost Christmas is about this family's first Christmas without Danny Glover's wife, the mum, the matriarch of the family, I think a lot of it is like based around that, where there's in the family stone, I think there's a lot of like little subplots going on at the same time. Like you've got the story of Diane Keaton's character, the mum, which is obviously huge. She's obviously I think it's cancer. I think it's, I mean, they don't think they outright say it, but I think she's dealing with cancer. It's something she's had in the past which has come back. You've got the daughter whose husband is away at war. You've got the younger daughter, Rachel McAdams, oh, what a woman, who is has already met Meredith before and she's got a vendetta against her already. You've got the deaf gay son, which is, I think it's incredible that they even like have a deaf person in it but don't make it a part of the storyline. It's just he's just there, which you don't see often anymore. But you've got him and his partner like looking to adopt. You've got Luke Wilson's character who's just kind of all over the fucking place. And then you add in Meredith's sister later on who comes to visit and everything like flips on its head. I just think there's loads of little stories as well as her coming to spend Christmas with them that makes them all feel more real. It feels like they've all got individual lives and I really liked the way they did that. I think it adds to the rewatchability of it. Like at the beginning it feels like a Meredith movie and then it switches to Diane Keaton and then by the end of it it's like Rachel McAdams and I think that's really effective. Whereas the Almost Christmas, I think it's like a much more by paint by numbers, apart from some of the little moments with like Jesse T. Usher's character, who's this athlete struggling with the passing of his mum. And the husband, who's a former basketball player, I can't remember who he's played by, but he fucking killed me when I watched it. I thought it was really funny. I just think the Family Stone's more interesting. How did you score it?
I really didn't like the Family Stone
Really?
at all. I couldn't get a
Oh
flight.
dear.
I was struggling to watch it. Struggling to get, there's some good moments in it, but I really struggled to watch it. I do like, I agree with what you're saying. Like, there's lots of twists and turns. Like, it's constantly like changing with the story. But for me, it was just like too constant. Like, it was every like. To the point where it didn't even make sense, or it wasn't logical how quickly these things changed. And like, you know, the son, I can't remember his name, something Mulroney,
David Mulroney.
there, Dermot Mulroney, he, you know, so adamant that he's going to marry this woman, like he's defending her, blah, blah, blah. And then his entire personality and outlook on life and everything just changes just because her sister falls off a bus. Like, it's like, and from then he completely changes. He becomes an absolute fucking weird, creepy. I can't even with this film, Cal. In fact, when we was watching it, I literally went, the words, "Why has he made me watch this?" come out of my mouth. And then so going into Almost Christmas, I was like, oh, fuck's sake, it's gonna be the similar kind of thing. But I really, really enjoyed Almost Christmas, like loads, loads more. The opening absolutely fucking gutted and killed me off. Like, and I think the twists and turns were a lot more believable and a lot more entertaining. Like the son having a pill addiction because he got injured, but it's also kind of the grief of his mum, the unhappy couple with the cheating husband, which was done fucking hilariously. You've got the two sisters, you know, fighting, which everybody can get out, like get on with if you've got sisters and all that, all the extra stuff, you know, the relationships and the auntie who is just fucking really over the top and used to be a backup singer, and then the dad who just wants, oh, the other son who's becoming mayor and he's kind of going against what his mum fought for and dedicated a life to, and the dad who just wants a Christmas and is missing his wife. Like, it maybe it's a bit more paint by the numbers, but it really just, because it wasn't as convoluted and it wasn't as the status quo changed like every 15 minutes in Family Stone, I much preferred the more streamlined and emotional take with Almost Christmas. Literally every time anybody did anything in Family Stone, I just thought, what a fucking knob. Constant, like fucking constantly. Like, you know, I know you love Rachel McAdams. You know I love Rachel McAdams. She was a knob in this film.
Yeah, but I think that's the point.
Yeah, they're all horrendous people in the Family Stone, and I'll get to that later. But they're all horrendous people, every single one of them, including, you know, Claire Danes' character, her sister, who we're supposed to absolutely love, and like her first instinct was, "I'm gonna fall in love with your boyfriend, my sister's boyfriend," and you know, every single one of them, including the mum, you know, has got faults. The only one that I would say I didn't have a problem was fuck, I can't remember his name, Dale from Young Sheldon.
Yeah, Kelly
Most,
Stone is called in this.
yeah, that's it.
Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, Craig T. Nelson. He, the dad in that film, is probably the most normal
I mean,
out.
I don't think there was anything wrong with the obviously there's a lot of issues with most of the family, but Thad, the deaf son, I don't think there's anything wrong with him. Unless you just have an issue with his lifestyle.
Don't start. No. No, he's all right, but like immediately, again, immediately, like the dad was pretty open to Sarah Jessica Parker's character. I can't remember any of their fucking names. But even Thad, the other son, was immediately just like, don't marry her. Don't marry her. You don't, we don't like her. Don't marry her. It's like she's not even done anything. She just walked in the house and got on awkward, and you'll just believe in Rachel McAdams, which I would also believe Rachel McAdams, especially in that one where she's all like teen emo.
Yeah, I actually had to look at how old she was when she made that film because I wasn't sure whether it was dodgy that I was attracted to her, but she was 27, so it's fine.
He shouldn't look that young, mate.
I know, yeah, but she's obviously supposed to be the youngest member of the family. So I was like, how old is she actually when she made this film? I mean, it's after Notebook, so.
The fact that you feel like you have to go look up somebody's age because you found them attractive already, it's too late, mate. You've already found them attractive. So if you
But.
look somebody up,
She was
if you
1 year
look
younger
somebody
than
up,
me, so.
mate, if you look somebody up and it says 14, it's too late. You're already
Yeah.
attracted to it. You can't go back on it.
Well, at that point, I would never have mentioned it on this podcast.
So
But,
that's even worse. But anyway, yeah, the dad was pretty normal in the fact that he only got angry when things got out of hand, which is normal. The only time he got angry, which is when it got out of hand, when obviously Sarah Jessica Parker was talking about not wanting to raise your children gay, and that's really the only time he went over the top. But yeah, I think Almost Christmas just so much more emotional, way funnier, and I think it was. Oh, I just fucking lost my train of thought. Everybody was a lot more likable, and I didn't hate any of the direction that any of the story went in at all.
That's interesting you say more emotional though, because I actually cried like a bitch at the Family Stone.
You cried like a bitch at the ending credits of Mamma Mia 2. That means fucking nothing anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Fuck. That is very true. Yeah. But I didn't cry at Almost Christmas.
Did you not?
No.
Okay, no. You heartless bastard.
I know, yeah. We'll move on then, because I think we have very different opinions across the board here, which is interesting. But. This next we'll move on to the best opening. Quite different openings. The beginning of Almost Christmas, it kind of shows us like this montage highlight reel of Danny Glover's life with his late wife and like every Christmas they've spent together. Like we see like snapshots through the years of like the children growing up, and then it comes to the end and we see him at her like just after she's passed and he's preparing for the funeral. It's almost like the beginning of Up. We see this like live together to really set up why her passing holds such an emotional weight on the story. In contrast, the Family Stone opens quickly with an introduction to Evan and Meredith, the main couple played by Dermot Mulroney and Sarah Jessica Parker, like out shopping, and we re immediately get this sense of who she is as a character. But we also get this sense of like he's kind of fed up with it. Because he takes the phone and hangs up for her, and then it quickly cuts into the opening credits, which is like I thought it was quite well done with like the holiday cards with each like going through the credits of each actor involved and stuff. But very different openings. One's more comedic than the other. How did you score it?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a surprise. 10-9 to the Almost Christmas. I keep forgetting the fucking name of it. Almost Christmas. This is why you can't do films I've never heard of before. I keep fucking forgetting about
I know.
it. I just like the emotional opening a lot more. It gave you a good sense of like him as the character and like the life they built. And I think it for a very short, I think it's probably only what 2 or 3 minutes long, for that very short period. It gives you a good sense of the mother who's only in the film in flashbacks, only in the film in that opening part. Oh, and she's in later on when he sees a ghost at the shelter, which out of context that sounds really bad. There's not actually a real ghost in the film, but I think it really like sets her as a character all the way through the film, even though you don't see her. Like her presence is always kind of felt, and I know it's been like they're constantly like referencing her, and like it's a constant thing part of the story that she's not there, but I feel like it's felt because of that opening montage, and I think it's done really, really well. Like I didn't make the Up connection until you said it, and now I can't. Like yeah, it is exactly like Up, and that's exactly the kind of thing that Up does is make the Ellie in Up. Her presence felt throughout the film, even though she's not in it. Whereas I think Family Stone is a lot more by the numbers, you know, businesswoman who can't separate from work, partner that's a bit fed up, wanting to do Christmas. I think it's all that's very, I think that's much more common in these kind of Christmas movies. So didn't feel like anything special. Plus, doesn't help that I really cannot stand Sarah Jessica Parker, and I did not know she was in this movie when you recommended it to me.
God, you've had a fucking dreadful time here. What a start to Christmas.
Why would you do this to me?
I didn't know you had beef with Sarah Jessica Parker.
I just don't like it. I just don't think she's any good whatsoever. But we continue. Laugh along.
My opening, I agreed with you. I went with Almost Christmas as well, 10-9. I do think that the way it plays out and shows you who the wife was and the who she was as a parent, and like it really does add that element to the story of why she's so missed and why it's such a big deal. This is the first year without her, because we get those little moments at the beginning with her and we see her through the years. It does almost feel like we knew her as well, which I think just adds to the story. The opening to the Family Stone's fine. I think it does a good job setting up who she is, and also like it hints at Evan's dissatisfaction with her already, which obviously comes into play later. And I do like the little the idea with the greetings cards and the opening credits. I thought that was original, but the opening to Almost Christmas was just really effective. And like I said, it is like Up, which is one of the saddest openings to any Disney film ever. So anything that's even remotely close to that ticks all the boxes for me. I went 10-9 as well, straight up. But I didn't cry.
Well, artless.
I'm a man of stone. I don't get emotional anymore. Told you I'm a changed man.
But you cried at Family Stone.
Yeah, but I'm a changed man. It's Christmas now.
Yeah, but it seems like there's a key difference between the Family Stone and Almost Christmas. That so you cried at the one family, but you didn't cry at the other. I wonder why you didn't cry at the other family.
Why?
You racist bastard.
Hey, there's an African American gentleman in the Family Stone, and that's not what it is. To get into spoilers, it's because fucking Diane Keaton's character's dying in the film. We actually see it play out. The reaction of the children finding out, especially Luke Wilson's character when he's sat on the football stand with his dad, like that. You don't really see actors do that very often in movies when they get this bad news. A lot of the time, for some reason, they're not that emotional about it, or we cut away from reactions before we see it. Whereas this one, it felt really raw, which is why I cried. Can't believe I'm having to explain myself to you, scumbag.
I mean, you haven't. So far this episode, you've proven that you're a racist and that you've admitted that you look at underage girls but have to check their age. So, I mean, it's not a good episode for you.
Also, you said you had an issue with everyone but the dad because the son is deaf and gay, so
I don't remember that being
this is
my
probably the
level.
last episode.
Yeah, we should probably not do anymore.
We won't
This
be
is
in
why
prison
we
by the
should
end of the week.
not. This is why we should never do a live episode.
No, definitely not. So we'll move on then to the ending. The
Which
ending
is
of Almost
at
Christmas.
the end, if I remember you saying once.
You are?
Which is at the end, if I remember you saying that once.
The ending is where the story concludes, I think, with
Yeah.
my wise words. The Almost Christmas ending, it's obviously quite wholesome. The family finally like put aside the differences because they've spent the majority of the movie bickering. They put aside the differences to come together and give the dad the best possible Christmas. He finally masters his late wife's old recipe. And yeah, everyone's just kind of happy again. I mean, there's obviously the key moment with Jesse T. Usher's character, the younger son, the athlete, and the when he gets into the accident and he finds out the dad's trying to sell the house. We have that emotional scene where he breaks down to his father, and then at the end, Danny Glover's character, the patriarch of the family, decides not to sell the house. So it's a happy ending in total. On the flip side, the Family Stone ending is pretty fucking wild because it starts with as a movie about Evan Dermot Mulroney's character bringing his partner, played by Sarah Jessica Parker, to spend Christmas with his family. Throughout the movie, she brings her sister along, and it's kind of like a switcheroo. He falls for her sister, and she falls for his brother, played by Luke Wilson. So at the end of the movie, she ends up with Luke Wilson's character, Ben, and Dermot Mulroney ends up with her sister's character, played by Claire Danes. And we flash forward a year without actually saying 1 year later, which they just trust us to have figured it out because Thad and his partner Patrick have now got this son that they were talking about adopting. The eldest daughter's finally given birth because she spends the majority of the movie pregnant and she's got a young child now. And the mum has since passed, Sybil Stone, played by Diane Keaton.
Where you start to see everybody, and then you start to realize, yeah, she's not going to be here.
Yeah, that the first time it I remember it dawning on me when I was like halfway through, and you see Rachel McAdams looking at the tree with her boyfriend, who, what the fuck, we'll get to him soon, punching like Mike Tyson, that motherfucker. And we see her looking at the tree and a little emotional, and it pans out to this picture of Sybil when she was pregnant with Rachel McAdams, this character whose name I can't remember now off the top of my head.
You know, we're sending you a good film and we can't remember anybody's name and we're just naming the
I can't
actors.
remember him for either film, so.
You just know it's Rachel McAdam.
Amy, she's called Amy.
Amy.
When Diane Keaton's character Sybil's pregnant with Amy, and it's a picture that Meredith gave to everyone the previous year, and it's on the wall, and it pans out to that as we kind of realise that she has since passed. So it's quite a different ending. It's not quite as happy. There are obviously happy elements, but it's also like the realisation that Sybil's passed. I went 10-9 in favour of the Family Stone because I think while it's fucking wild that they all end up swapping partners, I think it's more, I think it works out for the best because you can see throughout the movie like Evan isn't really that into Meredith and he's only wanting to marry her. Well, I think it's more like he wants to give his mum a wedding before she dies. He wants to get married while his mum's still around. But they're so incompatible, and when her sister comes along, and it really like softens him, and you can see who he really was. Like throughout the movie, you get these little hints that this isn't who Evan is. Like when the family tell him to take the tie off and stuff, it seems like he's trying to be someone he's not for Meredith. And when he meets the sister, he immediately softens. And then Meredith on the other side is this really uptight character who unleashes a bit of a wild side when she's with Luke Wilson. So I think both characters end up with the people they need to be with. And I think the flash forward's nice. I think the moment when Meredith gives everyone the pictures and Sybil looks at Amy when she's crying, she says, "That's me and you, kiddo." Like, I think it's such a nice moment. And her last scene being when she's looking out the window and it starts to snow, I think it's just really well done. And you can see in her eyes that she's like realizing this might be the last time she sees snow. I just think it's a really well done ending. The Almost Christmas ending is fine, but that's like the ending of every Christmas movie ever. Everyone puts the differences aside and gets on and doesn't sell the house. Like, we've seen that before.
He's
That's
so
everything.
hateful towards this movie. I swear to
I'm not
God.
actually, I really enjoyed it.
There's got to be an underlying reason somewhere.
Can I quickly say though, right? There's another film in which I really like called This Christmas from the 2000s, starring
Never heard
Regina
of it.
King and Chris Brown. And Alfonso, oh, what's he called? The guy from, have you watched The Boys?
Yeah.
So do you know who plays Mother's Milk? What's he called?
No idea. No idea.
Yeah, he's in it as well. It's a good film, but it's like very similar to Almost Christmas in the sense that it's about this family all coming back together to spend the holidays together, but it's an African American family, and I thought if I put them against each other, is that racist? So that's why I did it. And now I'm being called racist anyway. I can't catch a fucking break here. Yeah,
Oh,
I went 10-9 in favour of the Family Stone.
let's move on from that one. And
Yeah,
yeah, sure, because I think Almost Christmas is, well, I preferred the film. So for me, the ending was more emotional. And like I preferred that ending. But I do think the time skip and slowly realizing that the mum's, she has gone and everybody's kind of now find their right place. That's probably the only part of the movie that I did like in Family Stone. Like the ending. When the credits started, I was like, yeah, I like this bit. No, like it's the only part of the movie that I like. I mean, I don't really think Sarah Jessica Parker and Luke Wilson's character would probably last, because I think it's okay to be up, not be uptight when you're absolutely pissed off. But that character will go back to being that character at some point. I thought Dermot Mulroney's character was an absolute arsehole. Like his girlfriend slash potential fiance has gone missing. She literally could be fucking anywhere. The last he saw of her was a car that she'd smashed up,
His
and
car.
his car that he heard her smashing things into the wall, and he didn't even get off up from the fucking table. And then he goes out, and instead of actively looking for this woman that could be fucking anywhere, could be dead, and or she could be like fucking kidnapped or whatever, he's just casually strolling down the street with his sister, flirting with his sister, like not even
His
looking at
sister. What's that film are you
her
watching?
sister. Her sister. I watched the other one on.
I don't know what version you watched. Maybe that's why you didn't like it.
That orange and black website, like with her sister just casually walking, not acting. I just thought, oh, fucking horrible people. So even though I don't think any of those people at the end deserve to be with each other, except for Thad and his partner, and even who was the pregnant woman's husband, just comes in on Christmas Day. You didn't even get a good look at him. Like all the, I thought it was going to be somebody fucking right famous
Well,
with
that'd
how
be a
much.
waste of money, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, but with how much they kept being like, he's definitely coming, isn't he? He's definitely coming. I thought it was going to be somebody fucking like, do you know who I genuinely thought it could have been? And
What?
I, in retrospect, thinking, I don't know why I thought this, because it would have been really fucking stupid. I just thought they would get a cameo by Sylvester Stallone,
The fuck?
because Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah, isn't that
Because,
his new reality show now?
yeah.
20 years
I'm
later, I
pretty
don't
sure
think they had the foresight.
it was abandoned like the 70s or something.
Oh,
But
was it? But he's like fucking 30 years older than her. That would have been really weird. Like, I'm sure he was too old to be in
wrong
Bond.
with an age gap, Carl. You're in love with a fucking 70-year-old. Don't fucking
Yeah,
come at me.
but surely, like, he's too old to be in the army at that point.
Oh yeah, that's why he was there. He was in the army, right?
Yeah, he was away in the army, which was,
Not really expanded on. Could have been
well,
dead.
there was the one scene when she's on the phone to him, but.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the time skipping then slowly realizing that she was gone was probably like the most effective part of the movie for me, because even though she was an absolute arsehole as well, and I hated her character, she didn't deserve to die.
No.
So yeah, I think that's probably the best part. And the dad looking up at the tree and realizing like he's kind of got, you can the first kind of hint is that you can see that he's kind of doing everything himself, and the house isn't as decorated, and it's a little bit cooler looking, it's not as warm looking. So I prefer the ending to Almost Christmas, because I think it's a better film. The bit where Danny Glover's sitting with his wife's sister and they're just talking about her, I think was really, really emotional. And then eventually they try the pie, and then him getting so like upset but happy that he managed to replicate it, and managed to keep her traditions alive, after the son, came and helped her at the helped him at the shelter, and decided to go against what he'd done, and throwing away the family, throwing away the fact that he's selling the house and all that kind of stuff, and the sisters finally getting on. I think it's just a all around more happier and better ending. But I couldn't, considering that Family Stone's ending was the only part of the film I liked, I'm just going to go a cheeky 10-10, because I can't knock it if it's the only part of the film that I actually liked.
That's true. That's very true. We'll move on then.
Reiterate that everybody in that fucking family is not,
Not everyone.
except for the dad.
And Thad.
No, he literally took one look at him and went, "No, you can't marry her."
No, but see, this is it though, because they can all see through it. They all see that it's bollocks. He doesn't love her, and they know that. Even Luke Wilson says it, you don't love her, and he knows he doesn't. He's doing it for convenience.
It's 5 minutes into meeting Eleanor, your family took you to one side and were like, "Don't fucking marry her. She's not right for you." Like, what the fuck are you playing at, mate? Why are you with this girl? You'd just be like, "What the fuck? What's your fucking problem?" You see, like, so when she's shaking hands, like, because she doesn't go in for a hug, she's automatically a fucking bad person. Not everybody's a hugger.
She is a bad person.
Well, because she doesn't want a hug.
Yeah. Also, when she's like, we can't share a room. Fucking get a grip, honestly. Like, I'd be so embarrassed if I was him. Like, I brought this woman back and she won't share a room with me.
She didn't want his room. She wanted her brother's room. His brother's room.
No, yeah. Terrible. Let's move on then to the cast, which I think I know your score. Yeah, we'll talk about the best casts. Both movies have obviously got some recognizable names. The Almost Christmas is led by the great Danny Glover, who is obviously known for Lethal Weapon and Predator 2. And I love in Almost Christmas.
He does manage to sneak in. I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, I love that. I love that he gets a Lethal Weapon reference in there. But there's also a few other like noticeable names. Like I said, Jesse T. Usher, who is known for The Boys, he plays A-Train in The Boys. You've got Omar Epps playing the son who's becoming a lawyer. You've got Romany Malco as the neighbor who's kind of into the daughter the who's struggling to go to college. You've got Nicole Ari Parker. You've got Kerry Hilson as the woman at the shop who had that one really, really fucking good song with Neo and Kanye West like 20 years ago. Knock You Down. Never heard of it?
Oh, yeah, kind of. Yeah, I kind
Yeah.
of remember.
Gabrielle Union, Gladys Knight, JB Smoove playing Uncle Lonnie.
Baby Smooth, that's it. He
Yeah.
was so funny.
Yeah, he was funny. You've got Monique playing the aunt, who's like this larger than life character, and you've got like the guy that's working with Omar Epps is Malachi. You've got he's from is it Fred Claus, John Michael Higgins.
Oh, he's in Pitch Perfect as well, yeah.
I've not seen that. Yeah.
You've not seen Pitch Perfect.
No,
You
never.
have. Oh my God, Cal.
I know, surprising, isn't it? I actually was watching an Orlando Magic New York Knicks basketball game last night, and one of the main stars of it performed the national anthem there. So Eleanor was telling me about it then. So that's twice Pitch Perfect's come up in like 12 hours. But no, I've never seen it. And then on the flip side, you've got The Family Stone, which has got quite a star-studded cast of noticeable names like Craig T. Nelson, Diane Keaton. The sensational, delightful Rachel McAdams. You've got Dermot Mulroney, you've got Sarah Jessica Parker, Claire Danes, Luke Wilson. There's obviously a couple of less known names as well. Like, I think the eldest daughter I only know from Twilight, which is quite tragic. But she's played by Elizabeth Reese. You've got the son Thad played by Tyrone Giordano, who I'm not familiar with. I think this is the only time I've ever seen him in anything. But yeah, that's about it. You don't really get much time with many other people aside from Brian J. White, Patrick, Thad's partner, and then this motherfucker, Brad.
Who plays him? I can't remember his name.
Paul Schneider.
Yeah, he's in Parks and Rec. First two
Oh, is
seasons
it?
of Parks and Rec, yeah.
Never seen that either, so I wasn't aware of it. Big casts. I know which characters you hated more. So which cast did you go with?
Well, I'm gonna surprise you here and go 10-9 to Almost Christmas, because it's just a fucking better cast. It wasn't a great start. I hate Sarah Jessica Parker. Luke Wilson annoys the fucking shit out of me because he reminds me of somebody who fucking annoys the fucking shit out of me.
That Owen Wilson.
I don't like Luke Wilson because he reminds me of Owen Wilson.
Who reminds you of someone that annoys the fucking shit out of you?
Obviously Rachel McAdams in it. I'm not going to say a bad word about Rachel McAdams ever.
Never can.
But she was a bit, that character was an absolute fucking bastard in this movie. For again, no reason other than she didn't like this woman to start off with, so she formed an opinion based on just not liking her. Diane Keaton was good. Craig Dale from, I forgot his actor
Craig
already,
T.
Dale.
Nelson. Bob from
Craig.
Incredibles.
Oh shit, yeah.
Have you ever noticed that before?
Your mind is blown.
Yeah,
Craig T. Nelson, brilliant. I liked him. You know, look, I didn't know Thad from anything else, but I think he was good in it. Again, I just didn't really like his character. Yeah, I just, they're all just kind of horrible fucking people, and not a single one of them, other than the dad, has a redeeming quality, even the mum. So just really couldn't get on with him. But whereas Almost Christmas, even though everybody was, they had their issues, they weren't bad, horrible people, and everybody like brought everybody in that cast brought something to the table. I think, you know, the guy that played A-Train's really, really, really strong, and you kind of believe that struggle that he went through. You know, Danny Glover, like, I mean, I was watching that film and thinking Danny Glover's old now, like, he kind of struggling through some. It felt like he was old and he was struggling through some scenes.
That film's
But
8 years ago.
yeah, and that thing that really helped his character as well because it kind of shows that he's grieving. You know, the auntie Monique, absolutely blew me away. She's so fucking funny. And just every time she spoke, I was fucking cracking up. Same with JB Smoove. Like, I mean, obviously his character is the worst out of all of them, but absolutely cracking me up when he's fixing the Santa and he's talking to the kids. I mean, the kids were great as well. Like, kids in films, especially Christmas films, are usually like really annoying. Whereas these, it's literally all they had to do is anytime something happened, they had to raise their phones, and it was really, really good. You know, Gabrielle really enjoyed her character. I like the dynamic between her and her sister. And the next door neighbor, that every time she, you know, she couldn't hold her bags because she's a woman and stuff like that. I felt that because that is exactly what it's like being around Grace and Sophie. But I just think the characters all a lot stronger. All I don't know what's happening outside, but they decided to drill really, really loudly. So if you can hear drilling behind me, that is the
Can't hear
really
anything.
drilling in the street. But yeah, I just think it's a much stronger cast. And none of them are absolute fucking arseholes in the movie. So much more enjoyable to watch because I wasn't constantly going, what the fuck are you doing? Oh, you're such an arsehole, which is what I was doing through the families. I nearly said Sly and the Family, so through the
I've
family.
never seen that, but I can imagine they're not great either.
No, I can't imagine they are. But like, yeah, constantly through the Family Stone, I was just going, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you being an absolute arsehole? That kind of thing. So, yeah.
I agree that the cast of Almost Christmas is more likable. I think the characters are just nicer. They obviously do have the bad moments, like Jesse T. Usher with the pills and then crashing the car when he's drunk, or the sister really fucking over her sibling and inviting this woman that she knows is taking part in this like adulterous affair without realizing to Christmas Day to humiliate her in a
Yeah.
sense. Like, there are some negative moments where they do act out of character, but I think they are much more likable. But I think that helps the family story in the sense that they feel real. No one's perfect. And I think Rachel McAdams' character does feel like the bratty sister that would be there having an issue. Sybil Stone, Diane Keaton's character, I think there's so many layers to it where she can see why her son is doing what he's doing, but she doesn't agree with it. But she also tries to be quite welcoming to Meredith at times, but then she lets that facade slip when she's like miserable and she like is dealing with this illness and when she has to go lie down because she's struggling. Craig T. Nelson's fucking great in everything he does. Dale is the goat. I love Dale in Young Sheldon, and he's great in this as well. And the scene when he does like lose his cool at the dinner table, I think it's really well done. But then even he afterwards, when I feel like he was justified, but afterwards he goes to apologize to her, which I think is a testament to his character.
That's his character.
I mean, yeah, there's no doubt about it. He's probably one of the nicest characters every time he's in a movie. He's just fucking awesome. I love him. I think just the star-studded nature of the cast as well. Like, it's so many recognizable names. Rachel McAdams, she can never do anything wrong. She deserves better than that fucking ambulance guy, first of all. Brad.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, Brad.
Brad.
Yeah. Eat shit, Brad. I just think the cast as well have they're asked to do more. Like Luke Wilson's scene when he gets emotional, the eldest daughter's moment when she gets in bed with her mum and like wraps her arm around her and they're emotional. Evan finding out, huh?
I said that was a good bit, to be
Yeah, I think Evan finding out about his mum in the kitchen when she tells him I'm sick, and he breaks down. I just think they were asked to do more, and I think the performances, while the characters I don't think are as likable by a long stretch, I think the performances were just. I think there was more to them, and I think they were a little tougher, and I think they were a little more well done. There was more nuance to it. They weren't perfect, and I think that felt more real to me. And like, not this isn't really about the characters, but like the whole house just felt more like lived in. Like, there's I don't know if you noticed, but there's bits where the Christmas decorations are up and stuff, but you can also see like hints of like Halloween decorations that haven't been taken down yet, and it just felt like it was like this real family who clash, don't really get along at the best of times, but all at the end of the day still love each other. And I just love as well the whole dynamic with like Thad being deaf and the sign language that they use, even at times when he's not in the room, that it's become like a habit that when they talk they sign along at the same time. And obviously my niece is deaf and I used to know the I used to know the alphabet and sign language. I mean, I probably still do, but like when we were younger, we had to do that a lot for her. Now she's got hearing aids that we don't, but like that's something that really strikes a chord with me. So I think that helps as well. They just feel like a more real family. Not to say me and my family hate each other like that, because we don't.
Well, they're all still ourselves. And there's that bit in Almost Christmas. I don't think anybody in Almost Christmas is like perfect either. Like the dad's obviously keeping this big secret. They've all got like these secrets and these things that they're doing.
Malachi's a corporate sellout.
And you've got that bit where they're playing football and you think everything's going all right. And then JB Smoove's character,
Uncle Lonnie. That's the
Uncle Ronnie,
highlight of that film for me. I don't care.
goes to fucking. He basically tries to triple, like, knock. I can't remember his name. A-Train's character. Over in the, like, everybody gets angry because it's his career, and he goes fucking. He goes a bit haywire. So I think there's all these characters obviously got these flaws still. But yeah, I mean, I agree with some of the points you made about the Family Stone, but they're all fucking terrible people, and I hated them, so.
Yeah, they aren't exactly great. But I liked them anyway. And I think Diane Keaton was fantastic. I mean, she
Thank
always
you.
is, but she was fucking brilliant.
Thank you. It was good.
So we'll move on then to the next category, which is one we're only doing for this month, which you suggested. Great call, by the way. I don't know why I didn't even think of this, but that's why they pay you the big bucks.
I'm getting it.
I meant in other aspects of life.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's that initiative that you use elsewhere.
What can I say other than I'm a fucking genius?
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far, but I will say you did a good suggestion once, ever. Even a broke clock's right twice a day, is all I'll say. But yeah, this is a category that we're only using for this month, and that's the movie that had the best, like the most Christmas feel to it. Like the one that you get that festive feel. Because that's a lot, most of the time, that's what we go into these movies searching for. We want to feel the Christmas, and we want the Christmas vibes, and that's what makes like festive movies so special. Like some of the classics, like Home Alone and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, they like ooze that Christmas feeling. So that's what we're going to be using to judge these movies throughout December. So the best Christmas feeling, I went 10-9 in favor of Almost Christmas.
Fuck's sake.
Why did you disagree?
I went 1090 through family stuff.
Because even when we're disagree, even when I'm agreeing with the film you like more, we've swapped. That's interesting. But yeah, I feel like the whole family coming back together at Christmas, like they're doing that, and like dealing with someone's absence at Christmas and how that can impact everyone. Because everyone's dealt with that in the past. Like, I'm fortunate enough to have never lost like my mum, or like a really close family member. But we have lost like family members in the past that I've lost grandparents and like cousins and stuff like that. And you do feel those absences at Christmas. So it's something you can, I think most people can relate to, especially as the years go by and we get older. The family not getting on, but like being forced to kind of work things out for the dad's sake, because he just wants to put on the best Christmas since his wife passed, and he's struggling with that. I just think it was like, it is what Christmas is about. I was saying this yesterday. For me, the best Christmas movies aren't the ones with Santa, it's the ones about families just trying to have a good time. That's why I love National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation so much. And Almost Christmas gave me that same sort of vibe. The Family Stone one, I think it was too, like there was too much focus on the other storylines, like the wackiness of Sarah Jessica Parker's character and like all the shit she was causing. It kind of took away from the Christmas element. Same with Diane Keaton's illness. I think you spent a lot of time focusing on those moments where, and sometimes you kind of forget that you're here for Christmas. Whereas Almost, I mean, it's in the fucking title. It's almost Christmas. It's what we're doing. It's what we're doing here. And I've that was something I can't fault the film for at all. I loved it.
Yeah, I went opposite. I didn't kind of think of it in the same way that you did. You kind of thought about it in the story way, like, does the story feel Christmassy? Whereas I kind of just like the overall feel of the film,
The
and like,
aesthetic and stuff.
yeah, the vibes, as the kids say. I don't know if the kids still say
Yeah, we do.
that. We did. Oh, do you?
Yeah,
Okay.
I'm one of the
Oh,
kids.
you're one of the kids, are you? How old are you? 20 fucking eight.
Yeah, good fucking shout. That's spot on that. Give me four guesses and I don't think I'd get your age.
I mean, A, your camera's gone dead blurry, and B, I'm 35.
Ooh.
Have that on my age is finally showing, because I can't fucking see you properly. I'm
No,
really blurry.
it has gone a bit blurry actually. I don't know why that's happened, but no, there we
So
go.
it's probably best we couldn't have seen you. But yeah, no, like, Almost Christmas is obviously about almost being Christmas, and you've got like the winter kind of setting, and you've got the Santa decorate, you've got the little bit where they put the tree up. But I feel like it's more about, I think you could take that film, as much as I loved it, I think you could take that film and set it at Thanksgiving or at Easter or at somebody's birthday or some big, like a graduation or some big event, and it would kind of have a similar, you could probably tell the same story about a family coming together. Whereas, like, it didn't really lean into the Christmas parts too much. Whereas the vibe of Family Stone, I can't believe I'm trying to give it a point, but the vibe of Family Stone is like you've got them like doing the walking down the shops at night with all the Christmas decorations, and there's a bit of a glow to the filter on the screen, and you've got the snowbanks and stuff like that, and you've got them running through the snow, and you've got it snowing heavily, and you've got like you said, all the decorations around the house. And it feels really warm and really Christmassy. And, you know, all the story, you know, it does jump about too much, and there's so many plot lines. It's not really about, but you've got like the big Christmas dinner, and you've got the, you know, like Sarah Jessica Parker baking for Christmas and stuff. It's just lots of little more things that make it felt like they're wearing like jumpers, and it feels colder because of where they are and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They go to a bar, and it's very like very much like that diet, like we've both worked in pubs, like that dire Christmas Eve emptiness kind of feel, where you're like, oh, the only people that are here, fucking depressed kind of feel. And I just felt like it felt more set at Christmas, and I mean that one probably could also be some like another point in the year as well, so kind of undermining the point I made about Almost Christmas, but like it felt like a Christmas movie. Whereas the other one, you could say it's Thanksgiving, and it feel it, you could be like, okay, yeah, it is Thanksgiving. That makes sense. Whereas this one, because of all the decorations and the way it shot sometimes, and the snow, and all that kind of stuff. I think the music feels a bit more Christmassy. I know we didn't do soundtrack on this one because there's not really much of a soundtrack in any of the 3 weeks we're doing Christmas movies. But like it felt more like Christmassy and jingly as well. So 10-9 to Family Stone because of the vibes.
The vibes, as we kids say.
Yeah. Special. I'm going to give the viewers a special treat. If you're listening, I'm sorry, but that's what the kids say.
that's fair enough. I think it's quite close heading into our specific categories here that we've come up with ourselves. We don't, neither of us know what we've got here. We've finished the five main ones, and like we said recently, we've started doing it where we both bring a mystery category that we have to rate off the fly, really. We just kind of do it as we go along on the fly, don't mean to say. Is that right? Is it on the fly?
Yeah, I think you was going to say off the cuff and then went
Yeah, I just
on
combine the two.
the My
Yeah, on the
turn
fly
this week.
slash off the cuff.
My turn to go first this week.
Yeah, it is, which is rough for me.
I did think what we should start doing is saying the question, because what we do usually do is we say the category. And then, like, if it's my category, I'll then explain why, and it kind of gives you a bit of a clue, I think, and it gives you a bit of time to think. We should do it the other way, but I'm
Oh,
not going to.
now you want to do it the other way, do you? Now that it's your fucking turn to go first. All right, we'll do
No,
it.
last week when you were, I can't remember which one it was, the one that you did. I was like, oh fuck, I have no idea. No, I'll go first, and I'll do what we usually do. My category is a very easy answer for me, and I know what you're going to say, but which of the two families are the absolute fucking worst?
Oh, fuck. That was my kind of my category.
And I'm going 10-9. Oh wait, no. So the highest, no, it'd have to be which is the better, because which is the better family.
See, I
So
said
the highest scoring one would be the better family. So a 10-9 to almost Christmas.
so
Because
essentially,
absolutely
what my
everybody.
I'm gonna let you piggyback off mine because what mine was, which
Look,
family would you
don't
rather
let me
spend
piggyback.
Christmas
I
with?
went first.
Yeah, but like yours, just if you add to mine to it, which family would you rather spend Christmas with?
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
And now I have to come up with a different category. Fuck.
Yeah, you
Okay.
best get thinking. You best be listening as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Shit.
I would not want to spend Christmas with the family Stone. They are all very judgmental, very horrible people. Whereas the Myers family is, even though they've got problems, they still have fun. Like they're dancing in the kitchen, they're playing the football. Like the auntie. All ribbing the auntie when she cooks all that fucking food from all the tours that she learned from all the backup singers, right? All the people she's done a backup singing for. It's just a lot more fun. Whereas the Family Stone is like every opportunity, every single opportunity they have to make you feel shit about yourself, they will take it unless you're already a part of the family. So I can't imagine going to that family and having a good time, especially when you're trying your hardest to impress.
Right, who was doing that?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Was she folk?
Mean, she weren't doing a
Their
good
right
job.
nuisance.
She weren't doing a good job, but she bought everybody presents.
The scene
She,
when she referred to gay people as not normal was fucking brutal.
yeah, that weren't best. But it's also that bit I kind of got because it was like
Oh, you
you can.
understand that, do you? You
Oh
feel the same?
fuck off. The that bit I kind of, because she was like obviously mincing her words, she was getting all muddled up because she was trying to make a point that people weren't understanding, but it's not the point that they thought. And I kind of get being in that situation. I feel like she bought presents, she tried making her own Christmas food to like kind of bring one of her traditions to their family and like for her sister and everything and try and have that Christmas. And I feel like there are parts where she did try. She could have tried a bit harder, but yeah, not. I think all of that family, especially, sorry to say it, Cal, but especially Rachel McAdams, the absolute fucking worst.
She was at the beginning. She realized her mistakes toward the end.
When you see Jessica Parker, like, just kind of puts her hand out like that, and Rachel McAdams like jumps in, going like, "Oh my God, she's pointed to him!" Like,
And then the answer is the word is black as well. But that's
yeah.
because she knew the answer. She was just fucking with her. I don't think there
Yeah.
was actually any racial undertones to that.
Yeah.
It's a
But
pure
it's like
coincidence.
constantly painting you out to be the bad person, The mother just not being welcoming at all. I mean, the dad was lovely, but I'd go out and drink on a snowy field with Craig T. Nelson's character. Easy.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rest of him, horrendous. Whereas the Myers family all just seems to still be able to have fun between the tension.
I went 10-9 in favor of the Family Stone.
Honestly, you're the fucking worst. And this is why.
I just need one Christmas with Rachel McAdams, and I can win her over. That's all I need. Give me the festive season with Rachel McAdams, and fucking Brad will be nowhere in sight. Let me tell you right now, Brad, motherfucker, get gone. I'm in there now.
You know what? Last week, Grace said, "Oh, you're gonna fucking talk about Glinda for ages, aren't you?" And I was like, "Yeah, actually, it's probably spent about 15 minutes just gushing over Glinda and talking about how much I loved it." Now, imagine Eleanor listening to this.
She knows my feelings on Rachel McAdams. It's fine. She knows how I feel. I have to deal with it all the time when we're, because now that Eleanor's recently got into basketball, obviously I've been watching it for years and years, but like over the last few months, Eleanor's recently got into it and she's been watching every game with me. And there's a player on the Orlando team who she's just become infatuated with. So I'm dealing with it myself. She makes no fucking secret how attractive she finds that man. So it's
Oh,
cool. She knows how I feel about Rachel McAdams, and I just need one Christmas with her. Just give me a chance, Rachel. That's all I'm asking for. Also, I
this.
feel like in Almost Christmas, I just know that the aunt would fucking terrorize me. She'd fucking bully the fuck out of me, and I ain't about that life. I ain't about that life. Like Uncle Lonnie, before he even cheats, gets fucking tortured by everyone in that family, and that'd just be the situation I'd be in. Whereas the Family Stone, I feel like Sarah Jessica Parker's character feels like the. It's the separation from the norm. Like Claire, when Claire Danes shows up, Julie, they're much more receptive to her because she's like much more their sort of person. And I'm not like an uptight, like business person by any stretch. Christ, I'm quite the opposite. I think I'd fit right in with him.
Type business person.
Yeah,
He's fucking
well
just
framed.
Yorkshire through and through too, unfortunately.
I'd fit right in with Craig T. Nelson, Luke Wilson on those football stands, just chilling. So. I feel like I'd stand a much better chance getting on with that family. And like I said, Rachel, if you're watching, just give me a chance. So yeah, I went 10-9 in favour of the Family Stone. And now we've got one category left, which I've kind of been trying to brainstorm over the last few minutes. And it's quite tough. So it's a bit of a shit
Yeah,
one.
I thought it's quite tough, though, not everyone.
So we're at, this is it. This is it. It's over. We're ending. No. So both movies are kind of about the loss of the matriarch of the family.
Yeah.
Almost Christmas, it starts with Danny Glover's wife passing, and the whole film's about him dealing with that. Whereas that's how the Family Stone ends. It's about Sybil Stone's illness, and the end of the movie, we see that she's passed, and then that's where that family has to start dealing without it. So my answer was, which dad do you think will cope the best and like shoulder a lot of the responsibility the best? Danny Glover's character, whose name I've forgotten now. I'm gonna have to look it up real quick. Danny Glover's Walter or Craig T. Nelson's Kelly. I went 10-9 in favour of Walter. Because I know there's obviously times in that movie where he does struggle. We see him struggling and for that with that first Christmas. There's obviously a lot of drama and like the work he's doing to try to pull his family together, and he struggles at times, but he gets there in the end. If they do come together, he decides not to sell the house. He masters the fucking recipe. That's all he wanted to do. He figured things out. And we see it play out in real time. And it isn't easy, and it's never going to be, especially that first Christmas after decades with the love of your life. But by the end of the movie, it feels like he's like sorted things out. Craig T. Nelson's character is obviously great. But we see in the movie that Sybil kind of takes control a lot, and he's more like in the background at times, like he's just kind of along for the ride while she leads the way. He might be great as well, but I feel like seeing what Walter did and like bringing his family together towards the end of that movie, I appreciated his efforts.
Yeah, I agree. I think Craig T. Nelson's Kelly, like Almost Christmas gets the advantage of you get to see what the entire 1 year later looks like, whereas with Family Stone you only get a bit of a snippet of what it looks like. But even then, Kelly's character, not Kelly's character, Kelly struggles, like the house doesn't feel warm, it feels bare, it feels empty, the Christmas tree is not even decorated. It's obviously very somber, very sad. And like you say, throughout the film, he's very much in the background. Like, he's there supporting rather than leading. And Diane Keaton's character is very much the head of the family and takes control over a lot of things, and people just kind of fall in line with her. Whereas I feel like the mum in Almost Christmas, whilst being a head of, a key part in the leading the family, she wasn't the leader. Like, they felt, it feels like they led it together. And you've got that moment where, like you say, he gets the pie, like, sorted. But he also, like, managed to make everything still feel like Christmas. Like, he's still, like, there, and he's still getting everything sorted. The only thing he can't do is find a recipe, and he can't cook, and that's something we can all relate to, because most people can't cook for shit. Especially when your wife's a celebrated, like, everybody loves their food. It's going to be a bit harder. But he still, he still goes to the shelter, still living her dream and whatever. So, yeah, I think even though he's a bit older and frailer in the film and seems to struggle a bit because of his age, I think he would probably be better. So, yeah, 10-9 in favour of the Myers again.
Yeah, that's fair. It's over then. Something
I
else to say then.
don't have to speak about the Family Stone anymore.
You don't. That's the last time you ever have to speak about it.
Won't be one that goes on the repeat list.
That's actually one that I've watched a few times now. I'm actually really surprised how much you hated it. But that brings this showdown to an end then. And I'd like to ask you this. How do you think it went?
I
Who's the
think
winner?
almost. Oh, sorry, yawning. I think Almost Christmas has definitely knocked it over the edge.
You think it's won?
Yeah.
Well, I can confirm that the score is 135 to 132 in favour of Almost Christmas. So Almost Christmas beats the Family Stone.
Not by enough, I say.
No, because what did I have? I had Family Stone winning in three categories. No, four. Four.
And how many did I have it when you did?
Like fucking every one of them. No, I'm not joking. I think you actually only had, I think you had the Family Stone in a couple. You had a 10-10 to be fair,
Yeah, I
so.
did have a 10-10. I always like to throw a 10-10 in once a week.
Yeah, so it didn't technically win that one, but it was tied. But yeah, Almost Christmas wins by 3 points. Not a big enough gap according to you. I wasn't sure which way it's gonna go, so I've got no feelings either way. But I feel like that was a good showdown. Got to talk about Rachel McAdams for a bit, which I'll never say no to.
That's true. Do you know what's upsetting is that both of these are supposed to be Christmas movies, and neither of them feel as Christmassy in their vibes as Terrifier 3.
No, that's true. That's very
So
true. The opening to Terrifier 3 is about as Christmas as you can feel.
it's,
Until
yeah.
he starts chopping limbs off.
Well, yeah.
But the minute he puts on the Santa outfit to do it, I'm locked back in.
Exactly.
But yeah, you got a Terrifier reference in there now.
Need to now figure out how I'm quickly gonna
I'm
squeeze in the
not sure you can.
I don't think there is a Godzilla Christmas movie.
No, I mean, I can't imagine it screams festive.
I bet there's something Godzilla Christmassy. I need to find it.
I mean, Dan's probably got it on Letterboxd.
Dan's not even watched every Godzilla movie. He's a fucking phony.
That's terrible. You've watched more Godzilla movies than him, then.
Yep.
He's too
But
busy watching 2 minute
then,
shorts.
these two films were good. Well, no, one of them was good. Not something I probably would have watched without you kind of recommending them to me, the podcast. I don't think I'll ever watch Family Stone again. I would definitely watch Almost Christmas
No.
again. But weirdly enough, Grace only wanted to watch Family Stone. She was like, "I'm not bothered about watching Almost Christmas." But I watched that one without her, and I was like, you should have watched it because it's so much fucking better.
Well, I don't know what to tell you because I liked them both.
Well,
Really had beef, but I liked them both.
yeah, but to be fair, your standards for Christmas movies, you've admitted, are extremely lower.
Yeah, that's true. I can watch just about anything at Christmas.
The idea was we're going to do two Hallmark movies, and this is probably as close as we're going to get this year.
Yeah.
And if this is the standard of non-Hallmark movies, I'm glad we're kind of not doing Hallmark movies
Yeah,
now.
they're even worse. They are even worse. But yeah, so that'll bring this episode to an end then. Obviously, we've got a couple more Christmas movies lined up next week. Not your typical showdown in a sense. They're not what many people would think of immediately when they think of Christmas, but I love them. Have you seen both?
What, next week's?
Yeah, the movies we're doing next week. Have you seen both before?
Yeah, I was the one who suggested it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you've seen them.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Have you seen the ones we're doing for the last week? The classics.
No,
You suggested them as well.
not the two specific, not, I've seen one of them, but not the original one of them.
Okay.
Very cryptic.
Yeah. Well, as you can see, we're actually
We've actually got
preparing for Christmas.
it.
December's arrived and we've decided this is the time we're going to prepare. So,
We're
yeah.
still recording. We're still recording last minute, but it's
Yeah, this should go out tomorrow. That's the last one it is. I woke up and immediately started recording. Yeah, very prepared, as always.
as always.
But yeah, thanks for tuning in, one and all. If you do fancy giving this a like or review, feel free. We'd appreciate that. And I hope everyone is having the most magnificent December possible. Everyone's trees are up. Are your decorations up?
Yeah, the trees are up. I was going to put lights in the background, but I completely forgot. Or a little tree. You usually have it decorated to the nines, but because you've got your room moved around, you've not got anything up. You should get some tinsel around your frames.
I know, yeah, I should. I really should. I mean, I've got this like weird biscuit tin that we got like biscuits in a few years ago, but it's kind of like a Christmas tree thing with lights as well.
You showed me this last year.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Well, I've still got that. And also, just in front of me, it's not very Christmas decoration, but all my Christmas movies.
You
It's
know.
right in front of me. There's another set, but I can't reach them. There's like another like eight DVDs there. There's plenty to watch.
And nothing Christmas in here. Oh, I've got one, which is a big, thick, chunky comic. It's like, it's called Klaus. It's not about the film. It's basically like a fantasy origin story about Santa, who's like a Robin Hood type warrior who steals from the rich and gives it to the poor.
Ooh, sounds lovely.
Yeah, which I actually kind of really want them to make a film out of, but I love the class we got in
Yeah, that's great. The
so
Netflix
much.
class.
But I do want to see that one where, he steals from the rich and gives all the toys to the poor.
Yeah, that'd be nice. It'd actually be animated, probably, but I'd watch it. I'd watch any Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking true. That is fucking true.
Right. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out.
What a low ending. Bye.